This is a production of Cornell University.
You're listening to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast, presented in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. We'd also like to thank the Long Island, Central New York, and Adirondack Golf Course Superintendents for their continued support of the Shortcut newsletter. This week, Dr. Rossi and I discuss the virtue of patience when dealing with foliar diseases and varying crabgrass growth habits. Enjoy. Here with Dr. Frank Rossi. Frank, let's start with the weather. It was a bit warm. We're still getting some precipitation in the system, right?
Yeah, Craig, we're in this pattern now, Carl. Art seems to think that even the next couple of weeks, we've been like this for a couple of weeks, we're moving like this for a couple of weeks. It's going to look normal on your radar, but it's a combination of cooler periods that then humidity and temperature come in, right? Because the sun's at a very high angle. And as soon as you get some clear weather, even though it's cool, the earth heats up and then there's plenty of moisture in the system. And so we're getting these constant pop-up things. And the pop-up things are what make areas wet or generally adequate soil moisture. Really, people that are talking about dry, some guys had to spin the heads. Some people are having to see some dry spots. I would say that's on the sandier soils. Walt Nelson did comment that there are some drier areas in the western part of the state where he sees soils cracking. So moisture's all over the place. I would say most of all, they have enough. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that moisture in the system, which we're going to keep having in a hit and miss basis for the next few weeks, is driving foliar diseases.
Yeah, like you said, foliar disease du jour. What are you guys seeing out in the field?
So you know, we had a good early season amount of moisture, and we, you know, hear me talking good. It's because I know it makes my RJ Buckwheat guy really happy. It makes him very happy with all the moisture in the system, and then all you're waiting for is temperature. Mm-hmm. So before the temperature came, we were talking about fusarium. We were talking about a little low-grade dollar spot, but we were talking about red thread in a big way. A lot of guys told me the first time they've ever seen grass taken out by red thread. Mm-hmm. So something really interesting that tells you a lot of moisture's in the system, right? Mm-hmm. And so now the heat comes. So what comes with the heat? Well, heat brings on more intense dollar spot. Now you've got brown patch risk is flaring up on our forecast website. Pythium risk flaring up on our forecast website. All the foliar diseases now that the heat and humidity come in for periods of time, right? And especially in those people that try to take advantage of doing a lot of seeding, which we would recommend, right? Seed first. And a lot of new seedings are seeing Pythium breaking out in them. So don't overreact, because the beauty of it is a couple of clear sunny days that dries the canopy out and these diseases check up. Yeah. You can spray certainly high value turf. More guys are likely to spray, but you know, this is that period where unless it's on your greens or high value areas, you're not going to lose anything yet unless it stays persistent, which of course is happening more to the south. And when we talk about the south and warm conditions, I think about our warm season grass friend, crabgrass.
Yeah, we mentioned this on last week's podcast, the importance of scouting the young plants. Now some of the people out in the field are seeing different growth habits based on where they're seeing that crabgrass.
Right. So, you know, back in my graduate school days when I was here studying with Joe Neal in the late 1980s, the guy right after me started studying crabgrass ecology. I looked at drought stress and crabgrass, and we were working with the claim at the time, and it was a plant you had to spray when a product you had to spray when the plants were small. And so, you know, we learned a little bit about ecology, and so they did a study after I left looking at different gap sizes in turf. So dense turf, 1 centimeter gap, 3 centimeter gap, 10 centimeter gap, some sort of gradual gapping like that. And what you saw was a lot of little plants in the dense turf, which still got crabgrass, a few bigger plants in the 1 centimeter, but when you got to the big bare area, you had one or two plants that were 8 to 10 tiller. So that's why it's important to scout, especially if you have thin turf. And that is a big justification for seeding into these areas, right? Because if you give the crabgrass some competition, you'll keep it smaller longer, which will allow whatever herbicides or post-emergent control you have available after the fact to implement it easier on smaller plants. So, you know, that's something that we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks with the intermittent rainfall coming. It's going to be a very interesting beginning to the summer months.
Yep, definitely. And we'll keep hitting on these IPM techniques every week. It's always a good topic to bring up. On that note, we'll end this week's episode of Shortcut Early Bird Podcast, presented in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. We also invite everyone to check out our Twitter and Facebook accounts, where we're providing daily turfgrass updates. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.